What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bravo Critics. I'm Arielle.
And I'm Ricky. This is the place where we discuss pop culture news and all things Bravo.
Here, we mention it all while making it nice.
So grab a drink and hang with us.
Everyone's a critic. Welcome back, everybody. Hi, Ricky. How are you?
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey,
I'm doing
girl.
Pretty good. I feel like, you know, we're probably some of the few people out there that aren't hungover this day after St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
I think that we're all feeling a little bit rough after continuing to deal with the scandal of all of it. But
oh, my gosh. Yes. And everybody, we are going to dive deep into the most recent developments of the scandal. But before we get into all that, I want to tell you about what I got to do last weekend. And it might be seriously like one of the top moments of my life. It happened very quickly. It was like 1 second they were there. It was like a mirage. Then it was real. And then I just saw her gliding in front of me. Yes, I'm talking about the Countess Luann de Lesseps. I got to see her. I got to see Dorinda Medley, and I got to see Ramona Singer in person.
Singer in person.
Oh my gosh. I got to do a VIP meet and greet. I got tickets from the beautiful Dorinda. She gave me some VIP tickets. So I took my mom. I won tickets. I told you guys about that the last episode when we had Jen from Blocked by Jax. If you have not listened to that episode, make sure you go and listen to that episode, by the way, because
consider that like a prequel to some more of the scandal stuff we're going to talk about today. Because we're basically, when we get there, we're going to catch you up with everything that's happened since we last talked. So, yeah. I mean, recorded that first episode 2 days after the news broke, and now it's been 2 weeks or so, three weeks.
Two.
So, you know, yes. we're going to get into all of that. So stand by.
Yeah. So if you haven't listened, make sure you listen to that episode. Like we said, it's the first 48 hour recap of the scandal. But anyways, I got to go and see the ladies of Roni last week, and they did a show on stage. I got to meet Best of Bravo. Shout out to her. She was nice. I got to meet Avery. I got third row. It was awesome. Got to meet a few awesome Chicago influencers. It was really nice to kind of, you know, be in the, it was like an old theater. So it felt like a warm, cozy feel. Like it was really cool. They had the author of Not All Diamonds and Rosé. He was the moderator for that. So that was super fun.
Dave Quinn.
Yeah, he was the moderator. So he did a great job. So that was fun. And I got to hug Dorinda.
I love that.
Yeah.
I got to hug her when I was in New York. And I just love Roni because it's like, these are our girls. Dorinda feels like home. Like, it's just like a weird feeling that you get from Dorinda. It just feels like a warm blanket or like a hot cup of tea.
Well, when she realized who I was, then that was like so awesome because she didn't recognize me at first. And then I told her who I was, and then she was like, oh my gosh. And she grabbed me and gave me a big old hug. And then Ramona kind of was a little, you know, gave me a little Ramona, which is what I wanted and hoped for. And she was like, come on, girl, we got to keep it moving. We got a lot of people here. Come on, girl. And I was like, literally was there with you guys for 15 seconds. It was the quickest meet and greet I've ever experienced in my life. But it was wonderful. We had a blast. It was a really good time. And I drank nothing but champagne. Had a nice, good old buzz. I didn't have to drive, so that was fantastic. So I had a good time. It was nice.
I love that. I mean, who doesn't want a night out in Chicago with the Roni girls? Did they talk? Did they spill any like interesting tea? Because is the format sort of like a Q&A, right?
Yeah, and it was there was like kind of a Q&A, but not really. Like there was, but they were more so just like chatting about stuff. You know, people wrote in questions. I asked a question too that didn't get asked, but they talked about, you know, legacy, hinting that it's going to happen. And they talked about, you know,
is Ramona acting like she's still not going to be participating?
Yeah, she was a little flippant about it. She did her little Ramona catwalk. It was fun. You know, they talked about,
gosh.
Yeah, they went to Maple and Ash for dinner afterwards in the city. So And then, like, the next day, Ramona went to Aspen, Luann went to Miami, and Dorinda went back to the Berkshires, and they went back to their normal lives. So, so it was a good time. We had a blast, and if you get a chance to see them, I highly suggest it. I think Dorinda's got something coming up with Teresa in the next couple weeks, so if you can, you know, like I said, if they come to your area, it's definitely worth it.
I feel like those two would be a fun
combo. Yeah, and they're friends, so I definitely could see that being a good time.
That's what I like about a lot of the New York or Northeast girls, like especially the New York and New Jersey, just feels like I like that there's a certain layer of like old school about them.
Yeah. No, and I feel it's just
something so unique to those two cities.
It's very like, and I think it's that old school
Italian. Yeah.
Yeah, that old school Italian vibe.
Because like Dolores has it.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of Jersey, there was just some news that broke the other day that Sammy Sweetheart from Jersey Shore is returning to the Jersey Shore family reunion. Which is interesting because she's somebody we thought would never come back. And she had
I really watched Jersey Shore. I know who like the characters are, but like, why did she leave the show?
Well, the show ended and they all went their own ways and started their own lives. And then when they
Them go to prison too?
A few of them. Mike, the Situation went to prison on the show for tax fraud, for not paying his taxes or something. But the show Jersey Shore ended and then everybody went their own ways. And then a couple years later, they came back with Jersey Shore Family Vacation once everybody like was parents and had kids and stuff like that.
Is it sort of the idea of like an ultimate girls trip?
Yeah, kind of, where they basically could send them on a trip somewhere. And that's all, you know, what they did. But then COVID hit. So they would like rent out resorts just for them during COVID, or they'd stay at a house, kind of like a summer house type of vibe or whatever. But it got harder to do. And then they started bringing in their spouses and they would do like family days with their kids. And like, so it really became more of a family oriented show. But Sammy didn't come back for that because she had a tumultuous relationship with a previous cast member who now is no longer on the show. I think he went to rehab, Ronnie, and I don't think he's coming back. And he's like working on his life. And apparently Sammy didn't tell any other castmates that she was coming back. So it was like a surprise to them when she just popped up. I don't know if she just popped up on screen, like on camera.
Surprise.
Like surprise. So that should be fun. So I know that.
Hopefully it landed better than both of Jill's surprise entrances.
Yeah, I think that they all seem super excited. I've been seeing it on this on IG like crazy. So I will report back and you'll hear my thoughts on that when that happens. But I'm excited about that. So that's fun. But, you know, I feel like shit can change and she'll probably like she could any day be like, you know what? I'm not filming. I'm done.
I was thinking recently, I just love like all the different ideas that people come out with all these like ultimate girls trip casts, which we're going to be talking about. Like, I guess by the time we record again, we'll have Girls Trip 3 and hopefully we can start getting into that with you guys. Cause I think that's going to be really good. But I just constantly am, like in my mind casting these shows. Like I want to see like a kids version where it's like some of the kids, like I want to see like Gia, like Vicky's kid, Frankie. Yeah, I want to see like a mix of the kids that are around that age, like Riley, Candy's daughter,
Avery,
Allie.
Yeah, we would love Allie. She'd be our champion on there, I think.
There would be so many good possibilities. I think it'd just be interesting to hear more of their perspective of growing up in front of the camera and having like parents who basically see themselves as like A-list stars. But I was going with that because I just love when like Bravo people also put out like what they like for fan casting for these sort of things. Cause Gigi posted one and I can't even remember who all's in it, but it's like a mix of like non housewife women essentially.
I saw that. That was interesting because as soon as Riri speaks, people listen.
Yeah, so Rihanna commented, and she's like, basically, Andy, make it happen. I was like, oh, shit, she's, like, tagging him, like.
Yeah, it was Catherine from Southern Charm, Leva, Paige, Sierra, MJ, Gigi, Lala, Ariana, and then two other girls who I don't know who they are.
Show me.
Oh, Married to Medicine, maybe?
Oh, yeah. I think Anila's one of them. The two. Oh, yeah. And Quad.
Yeah, I don't know them. So there you go.
I think that'd be pretty good. I feel like the Married to Medicine women wouldn't fit in with the rest of them.
I need Danielle in here. So, like, let's drop out the other two, I don't know, and put, like, Danielle and, like, Madison LaCroix in there.
Yeah. I mean, we don't need Catherine Dennis, really. Like, we just got rid of her. So, it's like, put Katie Maloney in her spot.
Put Katie in. Yeah, I agree. Don't we have, or, like, I need some more diversity in here. I guess there, I mean, there's a little bit. We've got a couple. I guess we do have some diversity. Leva, Sierra, MJ, Gigi. Okay. Because, you know, when I just said that.
Selection. I just feel like we don't really, I don't really care for any. I don't watch Southern Charm, so it doesn't really do me any good to see those people.
Leva's just pretty. I just like to look at her because she's just pretty. And she's just like an actual respectable human being who's not maybe like the best drama for reality television, but I really like her.
Whatever. People loved her spinoff.
I watched like one episode and I couldn't. I couldn't be invested in 12-year-olds. I'm too old.
It's just not my thing anymore. I mean, I'm sure in a lot of ways it is very, very like Vanderpump-y, but I can't start a new show like that in my life.
No, I agree.
I don't even watch Vanderpump anymore, even with all this Scandoval. So
I know. And Winter House is already starting to film right now, too. They just left for Winter House. So we've got a new, I'm going to try to remember. I don't have everybody off the top of my head right now, but I know.
We talked about it a little bit last time, and we were wondering if either of the Toms would still be going because of, like, you know, Vanderpump Rules is, like, fully back filming now. So
Yeah, no, cameras are back up for VPR. Schwartz did show. I think Sandoval will end up being there, but probably not, you know, right away. But as of now, he has not shown. But we saw some pictures leaked. Like, we got to see Kyle Schwartz. I think we saw, they're saying Corey and Malia are hitting it off. And
Malia will hit it off with anyone.
Yeah, Danielle, there was a picture of her spotted. Living her best.
Also Katie Floody from Below Deck Med. I was sort of surprised to see her there. I liked her.
Me too. And I was she always supposed to be there? So I thought that that was interesting. I'm excited. Well,
they originally had said it was going to be Riley.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Which I thought, like, that bitch is going to get up there and be wild.
Yeah. I forgot about
that. They're probably like, if Sandoval is going to sneak into the house, we can't have someone like Riley there because Riley might, like, literally murder him.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the women that are there, I feel like I need some women that are a little bit stronger, like, in case Sandoval does arrive. That's when I need some bitches like Lindsay up in there.
That's what I was going to say. But Danielle's there. So yeah. Danielle is a bad bitch, and she doesn't need to be an asshole about it. She's just very, like, strong within herself. So I'm curious. And I don't know so much what her dynamic is with Ariana, but I do know that she's hashtag Team Ariana, like everybody else in America. And if you're not...
They seem friendly.
Yeah. And if you're not hashtag Team Ariana, you can change this podcast right now because I don't think that you exist quite
frankly. I did see that Chef Ryan commented.
I know. He's so annoying. I ignore him. I'm just like, okay, Chef Ryan.
He loves to, like, just get a rise out of people.
He does.
He's even posted in the stories one day. He's like, Team Tom.
I was like, what an idiot. He's so crazy. So, okay, speaking of
idiots, I don't think that he's getting it easy by any means. People have always thought that Tom was a douchebag. The thing is that, like, Raquel, we didn't know that she was going to turn out to be such a fucking whore, but we'll get into that.
Holy shit. Okay, so speaking of douchebags.
Whores.
Juan Dixon. Yeah, speaking of douchebag / whores, Juan Dixon. We're not going to talk about this long because we don't really care that much. But just reporting that Juan Dixon has been fired from his job because he basically did not report some foul activity that was transpiring within his team. There was some sort of catfishing situation that transpired where basically an assistant coach somehow tricked a player into some sort of sexual relationship. And basically Juan knew about it, or so they say, and therefore they have cut ties. I don't know if the Potomac stuff had any issues, like had any part in his dismissal from you know, the organization. It may have all played a part, but yeah, his ass lost his job. So him losing his job has secured Robin her job for next season now, which is kind of annoying because she's being praised for keeping her mouth shut, but whatever.
Yeah, we'll see.
Behind a paywall, but anyways. So
I just think they can do better than Robin. Robin's never really been one of my favorites, and I've always kind of found her a little bit snooze. Boring.
Yeah. Snooze fest for sure.
And it's so hard in that situation too with those two, because it's like, yeah, he cheated on her before, but she also took like that big gamble with like all of their money with that like guy, that friend of theirs, like killed himself. Remember that whole situation? Yeah. And that's like why they report at the beginning, like Robin at one point mentioned that she more or less was the reason why they went like all in on this.
Yeah.
And it's like, she just makes a lot of dumb mistakes, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree on every single count you said. So, okay. I have to ask you a question.
All right.
Because I feel like the Bravo universe is a little torn. And our stance may change as time goes on. So, you know, you're not married to this answer. Because you know me, I'm personally a flip-flopper. I flip-flop all over the place, okay? Mary Cosby, she's back in Salt Lake City. And pictures just surfaced of her. I don't know where they were, but she was inside a Sprinter van looking pissed off.
I think they were in like Palm Springs or something. So they're probably at some like crazy bar. And
how do you feel about that? Are you happy that she's coming back? Give me your thoughts.
I don't really know. I feel like she's good TV in the way that like the things that she says and reacts, but I don't really like her.
Can I ask you one more question? Do you think that they brought her back so then they can then explore maybe some of the fraudulent activities that's going on with her within her church?
Maybe, but I could also see her trying to be like, if I'm coming back to this show, you're not going to do this to my church. Because I feel like that's why she left and why she like didn't show up, because like she didn't want all these like cult allegations to come out. But you know that Whitney's already starting that shit. That's the reason why Mary's sitting in that van looking pissed off, because Whitney did something.
Oh, gosh. We're going to have to see how this all plays out, guys. But it's a fish. Mary Cosby's back on Salt Lake City. They are recording or taping or filming right now. So we will see how this plays out next season. I think that if this Mary's return is their Hail Mary, you know, literally for this last attempt to keep this cast together. And if this doesn't work, they're going to put it on pause, I think, and then they're going to have to regroup. And
I mean, really need to beef up that cast more.
Yeah, it's really just like we all know Ricky loves a fucking big cast, right?
By the time they went to Bravo Con, since Jen couldn't come, there were only four of them on stage, and it's like literally two versus two.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's really true.
Need more people to like freshen up the fights, make the numbers uneven. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I like Miami. Because Miami right now is on fire.
Exactly. And like, you like look at the reunion. There's like so many women on those couches that they can barely even all fit. I'm obsessed with it. You know, I love a big cast.
No, I know. And when we're recording this, guys, we just got the second part of the Miami reunion. So we're not going to dive super deep into it because we want to give like a full recap of Miami. They get like, they deserved it. They are a fucking awesome ass cast, and they just got renewed for next season. So like, who do we want to see? Who do we think should come back? Because Kiki and Adriana and Marisol are the only three that are friends of, but I feel like Miami, unlike other franchises, they're friends of, don't feel like friends of. They really feel, except for Kiki, but she almost feels like she's a full housewife almost too, kind of.
She's there a lot. And like, she just cracks me up so much. Yeah, her boob fully coming out. Like,
and then Andy goes, oh man, I missed it.
That's the whole part about like the shape of the head can tell you what type of person is. And he's like, what type of person am I? Andy's like, what type of person does my head say I am? She's like,
You're wild.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I know that you always liked her. And in the last episode or last time we talked to Miami, I think I told you she might have been my least favorite. But she did make me laugh at the reunion. This up like two or three times. I was like, okay, she's funny.
And the cold whopper.
I know. And that right there, that scene gave me a newfound like appreciation for her. Cause I was like, man, I forgot about that scene. And when she explained it, she's like, look, I was hungry. I eat plenty of cold whoppers in my day. And when these bitches piss me off, all I want to do is leave and eat my fucking whopper. So I was like, oh, I feel you, girl. Like, I feel you.
And now like everyone's going to start having a purse whopper out there.
I know. Can we also just, before we move on from Miami, I just want to say, can we say that Gertie has got almost the best reunion look of all time?
That her look is crazy. And then when she was like shimmying so you could like hear the sound, I was like, oh my God.
Oh God. She looks.
And it weighs like what she say, like 25 pounds or something like that.
Yes, it was something excessive. I'll post a picture to the Bravo Critics Instagram page so you guys can see what we're talking about if you don't. But if you don't, that's maybe because you don't have Peacock, and so maybe it hasn't made its way to Bravo yet, but I'll post a picture.
But if you want to know my thoughts on casting for next season, no notes. Keep it the same.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to keep it the same. It's working well.
A little bit of this, like, OG or like first run of the show versus the new run. And I think that they did a really good job. Like, this should be what they tried to do with Roni. Like, you know what I mean? Like, keep like half of it from the original. And then basically like, we're going to just renew this show. We're going to bring in four new people. Some of the people that you might remember from, you know, the previous seasons are going to be there, but then we're going to have new people too. And there's going to be friends of, but that cast on Miami, it's perfection.
Yeah, no, I really like it.
Even the people I don't like, I just feel like are necessary. Like, I don't like Adriana at all. And she just drives me fucking crazy. She's just as bad as what they accuse the other ones of. Like, her words are just as fucking crazy. You know what I mean?
I gotta tell you, Alexia's going through something. Because she is being so wildly out of pocket at every turn.
I know. I love her. But that, especially at this reunion, it's like, oh.
I know. And when she said that to Lisa, she was like, and if you respected yourself and you thought you were a star, you would have never let you know, your husband do to you to what he did. I'm like, oh, God, can you stop talking to Alexia?
And Larsa's like buying right into that energy, too, because she was like talking about basically saying that she had like is better because of her job than Nicole.
That I couldn't even. And then Andy called Larsa an asshole. He was like, it was an asshole thing to say. Like, it's a very interesting cast. And Dr. Nicole is coming out looking like a shining star. And she's just like, there's Larsa, ladies and gentlemen. And it's so wild to see.
I didn't really like Nicole that much during her first season. I didn't dislike her, but I was like, she's okay.
And now I'm like totally digging her. I think she's like so hot. So
oh my cute. God.
I and love her little accent.
And she's the part like, where it was revealed that she was Martina's anesthesiologist. I was like, oh, that's so special.
I know. And then, you know, I really feel for Julia. Like, I wasn't super into Julia the first season either. And I really liked her a lot more this season because I saw her being vulnerable and showing us as the fans what she was going through. And maybe she wasn't going through a court hearing or anything, you know, super insane, but she was empty nesting. Her babies left her.
Really opened up a lot this season. Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff I want to see more in Housewives. Like, I don't want to always see like all the toxic fighting and stuff. As much as I like the fighting, I also just want to see like how other people cope with their like living situations. And it's like a perfect example of like the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Like how she said at Julia said at the reunion, she said, you know, how I didn't want to do dinners for two. And now I would give anything to do dinners for two because of what Martina's going through. So I really just feel like she's being very authentic. And we are wishing Martina the best and their family the best on this journey. Cause I know that they're going to have a long battle ahead of them. And, you know, it's just, and the thing about it is I thought it was so sweet. Just one more thing before we move on from Miami is how they touched on Martina being so supportive, like, and how they showed pictures of her, like, pointing down at Julia's name at BravoCon and just, like, super holding her purse, you know, and Julia's like, I was her cheerleader for all those years, and now Martina, like, loves to be, that's, like, I love that. I thought that was so cute, you know?
Yeah, I like it, too.
But she's, like, a big motherfucking deal.
Yeah.
My husband knew who she was. When he walked in the room, he's like, why is she on here? I'm like, she's married to a housewife. He's like, what? So you got to love it. Speaking of housewives, your favorite made an appearance the other day on Watch What Happens Live.
I heard that was impromptu, that visit from LVP. But I think it's good to keep track of these people. Like, I don't necessarily, I mean, I think that she, if they want to keep incorporating her into Vanderpump Rules, she needs to even more take on that full, like, mentor thing, as, like, opposed to trying to, like, pretend to like, almost defend Rand to Lala. Or not, well, not defend Rand, but just basically, like, say, like, well, are you any better?
Like, well, and I, you know, Lala.
Like, all that stuff is just, all of the LVP scenes are so scripted. I just wish that we could get back to, like, some of the old LVP. Like, my favorite moments are when her and Kyle Richards were good.
Yeah, that was, you know, the good fun. When we were talking earlier, you were saying, I really, you know, we don't always want to see, like, the really sad or horrific things or the traumatic things that are happening. My brain flashed to early Beverly Hills days when they used to just, like, laugh and have so much fun, because that's exactly where my mind went. Like, sometimes the lightheartedness was really fun and lighthearted, and they were dancing and having a blast, you know, so, or getting wasted. And, like, some of those scenes in Beverly Hills when they're in Europe are some of the best.
Oh, for sure. I love it so much.
Yeah, but...
I miss that. But I want LVP to go on, like, a girls trip or something, too. But
I don't think she ever would. But, I mean, so apparently people are saying LVP was drunk on Watch What Happens Live. I didn't really notice it, but...
She seemed a little bit loosened up to me.
Yeah, she probably had a couple glasses of rosé, Vanderpump rosé.
But I just always appreciate, like, her humor. Like, just throwing out shit like... well, that'd be okay if it was Kyle Richards or Lisa Renner.
I feel like Andy looked annoyed with her. Was it only me? I don't know. I feel like he looked a little with her, like, come on, okay, come on, you know?
I don't know. He seemed like he was having fun. I think he maybe wanted her to not have, you know...
He wanted more direct answers, maybe?
People want Lisa Vanderpump to come out there and, like, bash the Toms and stuff. And it's like, at the end of the day, she's still partners in business with them. She's not going to do that. That's just bad news for the relationship. Of course she doesn't agree with that, because she cares about Ariana as well. Like, she loved Ariana.
I know.
And still, you know, probably does, you know?
So that's the thing. Like, we're going to get... So we got to hear Lisa's opinion on Watch What Happens Live, but it wasn't much because she can't say much because cameras are up. They're recording now. You know, they're filming. And so she's got to be very cautious about what she's saying because she's got to save it for the camera. And then they just announced that Jax and Britt are going to be coming on Watch What Happens Live this coming up week. So depending on when, that this is Wednesday the 22nd, that they're going to air on Watch What Happens Live. So we'll see what happens with that, because honestly, I thought that maybe they were going to just make Jax the bartender for LVP's, like, episode. But why is Britt going to come there? I don't know, maybe because she's friends with Ariana. I feel like it would have been awesome if it was, like, Jax and James, or, you know, I don't know. Yeah, so we'll see how that all falls out. But let's fucking dive in to the scandal of all of it all.
Well, and, like, the last thing that I was going to say about the LVP on being on Watch What Happens Live is I did really appreciate the part where she's like, don't forget, like, this is a television show. These are real people with real lives. Like, I don't think that we should go as far to, like, completely destroy their lives over this. And it's like, I was like, that's a nice reminder, because sometimes, you know, I'm not saying let's go easy on them at all, but, like, sometimes you do have to remember that these are just, like, at the end of the day, they are real people and
they are dealing with the consequences of their actions in real time. And then they are going to have to relive it. And then also remember that it's going to be sealed in history for everybody to see for eternity.
And there are obviously going to be repercussions to these actions, too.
And, you know, I've always said, and we're going to break down everything, but like I said last week, I unfortunately don't know if Rachel, also known as Raquel, is strong enough to stand the storm that's coming her way. And so I really just urge people out there to give, while we're disgusted with the way that things transpired, just try to give a little grace, and please don't be an internet troll. Like, it's not cute. We're not here for that. You know, we're here to give our thoughts and, you know, be a little shady and judge a little bit, but we're not trying to make the girl in a, you know, fetal position. It's just, it's too much. So, all right, let's break it down.
Yeah. So let's break it down. I mean, like I said, there's been so much that's happened in the last couple of weeks since we've talked to you guys. So like we said, Jax is coming on Watch What Happens Live next week. We've even got Kristen coming back into the fold to film a little bit. And she's been all up in this too.
Which is necessary. It's very necessary that Kristen is the one who speaks like on this situation, because she has so much information on Sandoval, to who he is, true to his core, his character. She was with him for so many years, and she is saying, like, everything I've been saying all along has now come to fruition. And I feel like since Ariana and Kristen are in a good place, Ariana trusts Kristen, that Kristen has her best interest at heart, and that she's going to advocate for her and make sure that, like, people see that fucking Tom Sandoval is not a sweet, nice guy. Because, like, I just want to say one more thing. How we've seen play out in the past. And I don't know if this is an Andy Cohen thing. I don't know if this is a Bravo NBC Universal thing, but it has been a pattern that Bravo protects the men. They do not protect these women for some reason, and they shield them. And we've seen it happen so many times with the Toms, especially with Schwartz.
Yeah. I feel like I've never been a Schwartz fan. I feel like I've always sort of seen through, like, I feel like he gets such a good edit that makes him just look like the happy-go-lucky guy. Like, he makes a mistake here and there, but you can't hate him because there's not a malicious bone in his body. And it's like, I think that he's a lot more, like, on the know than people know he is.
See, and I don't necessarily – I think he is a lot smarter than people give him credit for, but I also don't think there's, like, a malice intent behind him. I just think that he is such a
coward. I think he's a shady link.
He's weak. It ultimately, like how Lala said, it ultimately comes down to him being weak, not having a backbone, not knowing who he is. He's 40 years old. Like Katie said on Watch What Happens Live the other day, he is 40 years old. Like, and we're going to get into that. So
I have to say that, like you mentioning that, that's why I have such a hard time watching shows like Vanderpump Rules. It's like, I cannot watch people act like that. Like, it just drives me crazy knowing like what their age is. Like, I'll say I'm approximately mid-30s. You know, lady doesn't reveal her age, but it's just like watching these people, it's like I can't, like, I couldn't be friends with a lot of these people.
No,
because, you know, even sometimes the ones that I like, I'm just like, I don't even know if I could
like hang out with you in real life. Agreed. Yeah. Okay, so you guys, we're going to take you through the VPR scandal, everything that's transpired in the last 2 weeks. We're going to try to keep this in some sort of correct order. So for those who maybe haven't been on Instagram consistently or haven't been up to date with everything, you kind of get a full overview of where we're at. Now, we're going to say there's probably a bunch of stuff that's going to happen from the time we're done recording this to the time we release the episode, because it seems like every day there is new stuff still coming out 2 weeks later. But
there's always a new detail, a new like picture. Like, you're even getting like these weird like videos of that different fans took when they went to like one of Sandoval's concerts. And it's like,
yeah,
you can see Raquel's there. Like, there's so many instances where it's like, I just hate it. And like, at the same time, like, I'm just like, I cannot believe just the way that they were doing it right under Ariana's nose.
I know, it's
disgusting. And like, I just know like the worst part for Ariana has to be like, am I dumb to have not like noticed like those two are getting way too close? Like, I just thought my guy would not do that. Like,
no, there was some now that we're seeing, like, apparently Lala said it on film. she had said this, like she was telling them, like, you guys, something. And that's what's so interesting. And I really wish, Ricky, that you would watch these past couple episodes, because it's very interesting to see that these episodes have not been edited. And now we're seeing it with a different lens. So quickly want to say, like we said, cameras are back up. Tom Sandoval did not go to Winter House because he had to stay back and film. Apparently, he is the only person who has filmed with Raquel since the news broke. Raquel has only filmed once. She's refusing to film. She is now left and gone to be with her family. She's like trying to take some time.
Probably allegedly afraid someone else is going to beat her ass.
Well, Ricky, apparently Rachel and Tom Sandoval kissed on camera. So like that makes
that doesn't surprise me. Those two are going to double down on this. That's the way that they're going to get out of this. I think that Sandoval, like the two situations are completely different, but it goes back to with how he sort of treated the situation with Kristen and going into the Ariana stuff. Ariana, he doesn't have the whole excuse of like she was like fucking crazy like Kristen was back then, but it's like the whole thing of like, well, you know, like you can't help who you fall in love with, and like we're just in love. And I feel like that's how he sort of got away from like
really. No, he's blaming it on Ariana. He's blaming like, it on her. It's her fault.
Yeah. And I feel like that's what he did in that other situation. Is like, Kristen drove me to cheat, but now I found someone that truly loves me.
And Kristen was an easy out, right? She gave him the material so easily. But yeah, with Ariana, he was like, oh, she was depressed. Okay, so we're going
to
keep
it. That's why it's a harder game for him to play this time. But I think that's what their long haul game is going to be, is like, we're in love. We want to be together. Don't you want us to be happy?
Well, she said,
gaslighting, you know,
he's saying they're not together anymore. So, okay. So Rachel gives a statement. Okay. So she gives her first statement, which I thought was hilarious, that she gave it to Entertainment Tonight. Okay. Why are we giving a statement to Entertainment Tonight? And in this, she did what Tom couldn't do, which was apologize directly to Ariana, because on Tom Sandoval's first apology, his was basically a statement regarding his businesses and how he was worried that this bad PR could affect the business and basically the likelihood of everybody else in the company. And we talked about that.
Really narcissistic apology. Yeah.
So we talked about that on the last podcast, because I think he had did that right before we had recorded. Then he put another apology out and then directed that one towards Ariana. It's like, okay, too little, too late. Fuck you, right? Then Raquel, a couple days later, put out her apology or her statement, her first statement. And it was because she put two out ultimately, kind of just like Sandoval did, one day and then one the next day. And her initial one was, yes. And her initial one, which I thought it was odd that it went to Entertainment Tonight, and her first words were, I want to apologize for my actions and my choices foremost to Ariana and to my friends and the fans so invested in our relationships. There is no excuse. I'm not a victim and I must own my actions, and I deeply regret hurting Ariana. So that's how she fucking played it. And then she came back the next day basically saying, like, you know, regardless of my indefensible circumstances surrounding our relationship, my feelings for Tom have always been sincere and born out of a loving friendship. But she's basically saying, like, I hurt all of my friends and I need to take care of myself, and Tom and I aren't going to label ourselves anything. So basically she's leaving it thrown up in the air. So
I think she's sort of also just running away scared.
She's
in way over her head.
She's in way over her head. So, okay. So
this is like literally, I mean, there have been so many big scandals at Bravo of different like calibers and different like types. You know, there's criminal stuff, there's the affairs and stuff, but this is like one of the biggest things that's probably ever happened.
Ever hit Bravo. I agree. And, you know, so she's trying this PR stunt, right? She's putting out these statements, and then she is, you know, I'm not a victim, but then she switches it almost to like, I'm a victim. Once she starts to see this, I'm not a victim stance isn't working for her, then she switches it to like, they recorded me on FaceTime without me knowing. And now others have this video, which, hey, is like not okay that Sandoval, if it's true, he allegedly screenshotted an inappropriate FaceTime between himself and Rachel. And if he did that, like
that whole thing kind of like pisses me off, because it's like they better not even try to go after like Ariana for that, because that video wouldn't even exist if Sandoval hadn't recorded it for his own like sick perversions.
No, so they're not. So the stance that they played legally, the, you know, the way she's trying to play this legally is basically saying this was filmed without my knowledge, so this is illegal. You know, nobody who has possession of this is allowed to circulate it or distribute it in any way.
Just like a cease and desist.
And you have to delete it. Now, she sent that to everybody. They didn't have that. She names Tom Sandoval in the complaint, like in the claim, but she doesn't say, but she doesn't direct a claim at him, like a complaint directly at him. So she just names him as the individual responsible, but she's not like targeting him, but he's named in it. So who knows? Like if one day she wants to press charges on him for this, she could, because what he did is technically against the law. And then she takes another step further and files a fucking protection order against Sheena, saying that Sheena punched her in the face and did all this shit. And I came up with a conclusion. I think I know what happened. I think that when, because we all know how this transpired, right? Like really quickly, the phone fell out of his pocket. Somebody picked up the phone, gave it to, that was like, oh, hey, this fell out, gave it to Ariana. Something in her soul told her to look at this phone. Kristen said this on a podcast. She looked at it, saw the FaceTime video that was screen recorded from Sandoval between her and Raquel. And basically she fucking lost her shit. When she called Raquel, Sheena was there with Raquel, right? I think that when she walked up, apparently Raquel said so nonchalantly, oh, she found out that I'm having an affair with Tom Sandoval. Yeah. And Sheena was like, what? And I think Sheena had her big ass ring, and I think she grabbed the phone to throw it into the sewer. I think she cut Raquel's face probably with her ring, or if Raquel had,
there are also like photos, and people have been trying to do like some investigations, like
for the black eye.
It looks well, like the,
because it's her back.
The quote unquote black eye is just the way she looks.
Her back, she's got, right? Like, without makeup on,
she's got a raccoon face.
Exactly.
You know, what do you expect? You're exactly. Gonna dig around in garbage. You're probably a raccoon.
but it's just so that's what I think. That's.
But perfect. Someone like posted a picture. It was like one of her friends, and they were on the airplane, and it looked like she might have even had it then. And someone like went as far as to like, I think they mentioned this on Radio Andy. There's that show Watch or Here's What Happened Live, and it's from two of the producers, or you know, some sort of role that they play at Watch What Happens Live. And that I guess they went to their makeup artist that does everyone that comes through there. And they're like, did you do her makeup? Did she already have that? But she was like, no, she had her own glam.
Oh, so I do think that she does have raccoon type eyes, like where she does need that heavy concealer and foundation. I think the scratch came from Sheena. So my very long-winded explanation was all to say, I think that Sheena probably did scratch her when she snatched the phone from her. But Sheena was like, I'll see you in court. And the thing that sucks is that the court date is after the reunion date, and Bravo's not pushing the recording for the reunion. And so it's like, who's going to show up via Zoom? Is it going to be Raquel? Is it going to be Sheena and Brock? I need Sheena and Brock to take one for the team.
Wouldn't it be even wilder if like Sandoval decided to do the Zoom with Raquel? Like they Zoomed in together.
Oh my God. But I want those.
That would be fucking twisted, but no, I couldn't see those two doing it.
No, because I want Tom face to face with Ariana.
Yeah. And everyone else, not just Ariana, because it's like all these other people, like you've called all these other people out. You've acted like such a little bitch to every single person on that cast.
Yep.
And meanwhile, you're doing dirty shit all over the place. I've always said this, and people like Sandoval are why I do not watch this show, because I can't like, I just can't watch that kind of like toxic masculinity.
Well, and you know,
I don't even know, like Ariana is a saint for putting up with that shit for as long as she did.
She's such a sweet girl. I mean, honestly, we said it before and we'll say it again. She is like the kindest, coolest girl on Bravo. Like really, she is a doll.
I love the meme where Tom has that really bad, like long hair with like the blonde streak in it. And they're like, And just imagine Ariana stayed with him when he looked like this.
Oh, when he was like in drag or something like
and
that.
He looked like emo or something. It was like his like look for that season. It was sort of longer hair. It was so bad.
I can't. He's had so many looks. It's like, so we saw on TMZ that apparently Tom and Raquel, after they did film that day together, they kissed on camera. Apparently there was footage of him going back to her apartment that night. So maybe that was when they decided to kind of put a pause on things, or maybe they came up with their game plan for how they're going to play things. So I think we'll see it happen. We'll see it play out. But okay, wait, I got to tell you, one of the more comedic things that have come out of this has been Lala and her social media. She's like, okay, I basically turned into a Bravo fan page. Like, I'm a fucking Bravo blog now.
Cracked me up.
She's like, I can't help myself. And she said on a story one time, and I quote, send it to Daryl, because basically Raquel's attorney was reaching out to Lala directly. And just for anybody who doesn't know, you're not allowed as an attorney to reach out to an individual directly if they have counsel and they retain counsel. And obviously we all know that Lala retains counsel because she has a variety of businesses and is on a television show. So,
and she's got Randall problems.
Exactly. So it's kind of like, okay, send it to
that Bambi-eyed little raccoon-eyed bitch knows that.
Yeah. So she basically talked shit and sent an email back to Raquel's lawyer. I heard on Lala's podcast, she was basically like, don't ever fucking email me again. Like, you could fucking send this shit to Daryl, like copy. And then she like sent it to Daryl, like, FYI. I just
that, like, story that she didn't just kept on being like, send that shit to Daryl.
I loved it. She was like,
to Daryl.
I have a little baby. I don't want to deal with that in the morning. I don't want to deal with that ever. Send it to Daryl. That's what she said.
And like, you could tell from the look on her face that she was like super fucking pissed, but she was remaining relatively calm. It was almost Lala. Scary. Yeah.
No, for Lala, for sure. And you know, we got some glimpses of Ariana in Mexico smiling.
I have to say just real quick, just about Lala, like, oh, yeah. I do feel like what's been good for Lala is I feel like there's been so many situations that have continued to vindicate her.
What she is. So,
so many people have not liked Lala for different reasons. And I feel like all of those reasons have like more or less been like disproven, or like something else has happened that's like Lala, like, and the bigger picture was not wrong there.
Well, I think what's funny to say, and I'm going to touch on that on our, when we just, you know, touch on the most recent episode, because I think you're 100%, not only Lala has she been vindicated, but it's so wild how Katie was able to sniff out this stuff. It's just really so crazy. And I want to say, you know, Ariana had, to just touch on one more thing with Lala too. She
it's also, like, we thought that the original like witches of WeHo were dangerous. Lala and Katie are like more dangerous than Stassi, Kristen, and Katie could have ever hoped to have been.
I mean, you know, I love the Katie Lala Stassi combo because that's a vibe right there too. But I will say this: Lala is very much like, I will fight for what's right. And she may be a hypocrite at times, but people are allowed to evolve and people are allowed to grow. And I think that we need to show, again, a little bit more grace to Lala, because people are giving her so much hate right now on the internet. And I really am getting so many messages about it, and I hate to see it. Because
what is everyone mad at her about currently?
They're just calling her the biggest hypocrite ever, that she was a mistress and like James. All this shit. Oh, yeah. And then that she was a mistress with Randall when he was married. And also she slept with James when James was at the beginning of his relationship with Raquel, and she was just starting to date Randall. I mean,
well, I love how she posted that picture of her and Amber recently.
Well, Amber, and that's the thing that's amazing. Like, Amber, Lala has not seen those girls since the day she left Randall. And it's been a year and a half. And the fact that her and Amber have built a relationship, Amber Childers is Randall's ex-wife, everybody, the parent woman that Lala was the mistress for, right? They've now started to compare stories and things like that. And her and Amber built a relationship, and now she got to see her stepkids, and they got to be at Ocean's birthday party. And like,
what did she call him before we had a name for him?
Who, Randall?
Yeah.
Oh, what did she call him?
I was just trying to think because, like, I know it, like,
they would call him something. Yeah.
I wish I could think of what it was because it's like basically like in Atlanta how Kim had Big Papa.
Range Rover?
We're going to need to look into that. I can't believe I don't remember that.
They used to call it like PJs. I remember that, like, you know, sucking dick for PJs or whatever, Range Rovers. Yeah. Okay, so anyways.
Lala, jazz tickets.
Well, I will say this. Lala did also say on her podcast, she was like, look, I think that Ariana has got a really good group of people rallying around her. And she goes, and I quite frankly can't be that person for her right now. She needs people that are going to be that calm, even-keeled, mellowing space for her. She goes, and I'm in the space.
Right, like Lala's like ready to fuck some shit up.
Lala's like, who we fucking up? Like, where are we blowing this shit up at? So Lala goes, so I'm the next phase, right? Let her work through those emotions. And when she's ready to take action and she's ready to go fucking bang some heads together, I'm her girl. But she's like, but I text her. I check in on her. I also text everybody that I know is immediately around her. And I stay in constant connection with them to make sure she's okay. She's like, but I'm not like smothering her, which I thought was really awesome for her to say, like, I'm not what she needs right now. I'm triggered by a lot of the shit. That's also because I'm still working through my stuff. And it wasn't selfish.
She's got so much self-awareness.
Yeah. I'm very self-aware as well. So maybe that's why I relate to her in that way. Okay. Don't come for me, guys.
I hate that I know that I'm a cunt sometimes, but...
I know. It happens. Okay, wait. So Ariana was in Mexico, and people were, like, making this super big deal out of her being in Mexico because... she was there without Sandoval, right? But apparently this was her friend's wedding who she had RSVP'd to go to before the Scandoval broke. And
what's the timeline in the show? Like, what month is it?
What that's currently airing?
Yeah.
We are... the episode that just aired was the night that it started with Raquel and Tom.
So Coachella...
boys' night. I don't know if
but didn't they allegedly start doing stuff at Coachella?
There was that apparent rumor. I don't know what they're saying. People who are close to Raquel, who have been on all the podcasts, said that that was the night that they started to have that like connection. So
I wonder if they'd already been banging and that was just like when it was like starting to get to be maybe more than that.
It could have been, you know what I mean? So I don't really know. We have to get a clear understanding of the timeline. Cause if we go by what they're saying July, but if we go by Coachella, obviously that's
like April.
Yes, that's different. So, but what I thought was super cute. I just wanted to give like a cute little shout out. I thought was awesome. Was that one of the Bravo fan pages, reach out to Melissa Gorga because they saw that Ariana was wearing a pretty dress that, you know, Melissa carries in her Envy shop, which other boutiques also carry this dress. It's not like exclusive to Melissa Gorga's boutique, but one of the Bravo accounts saw that the dress Ariana was wearing was the dress that Melissa had in her shop. It's like $550 or something. And so they tagged her like, hey, Missy G. I call her Missy G. Hey, Missy G, why don't you name this the Ariana gown? And Melissa
will do anything for attention, though.
And she did. So I thought that was awesome. So I really liked that.
Melissa would give blowjobs for jazz tickets.
I mean, hey, not for jazz tickets. So that was, I thought, like a really cute thing. And of course, people on the internet were being haters. And I'm like, can you get out of here with this negativity? It's like too much. So
speaking of Melissa Gorga, wasn't it on her podcast that Teddy Mellencamp decided to like try to say LVP?
Yeah.
She suggested the LVP might have paid Raquel to like do this. And it's like, bitch, you are so delusional. Like, there are a lot of people out there, including yourself, that don't like LVP, but it's like, Teddy, like, you already took LVP out, essentially, with that dog gate. Like, why do you still have a problem with her?
And that's the thing. Everybody's, like, obsessed. All these women have petty, you know, I'm petty as well, too. But they do hold grudges. All these women do definitely hold grudges. So I think that's hilarious. And obviously, LVP came back and was like, okay, so that didn't happen. Like, shut up.
So in a way of the two T's in a pod, I'm Tamara and you're Teddy. Because yeah. Tamara's like, oh, I like LVP. Like, I've always gotten a good vibe from her.
Don't. shut your Muppet mouth. Like, don't you ever say those words to me again. I am not.
Like, Teddy, like, go have a seat. Like, no one needs your commentary on this. Like, just go.
I know. I'm over her. Oh, God. So, okay. Then, okay, I want to ask you this. When do you think Tom Schwartz found out about all this?
I think he's known for a long time. Maybe not since right at the beginning, but it seems that from just different things that we're seeing, it seems like they were getting more and more like blatant with what they were doing and more bold. And I think that Sandoval at the end of the day knew that Schwartz would have his back. And if he didn't, he knows a lot on Schwartz. Like,
yeah. Well, and that was a thing.
Again, like, it's one of those things like Lisa Vanderpump's not going to like turn on her business partner. The Toms are like so intertwined at this point now and like money that Tom Schwartz isn't going to try to blow that shit up.
No, for sure. And I was waiting to see how
not long that makes it right by any means.
No, no. I mean, I don't expect anything less from Tom Schwartz than to stand up for Tom Sandoval, because quite frankly, he put Sandoval above his wife and basically above everything in his life. So even above himself, obviously, because he threw himself to the wolves. And I really think that the storyline with Raquel is a huge cover and that he did know. He maybe, like you said, didn't know from the start. Katie said on Watch What Happens Live, I want to know when it started and I want to know when Schwartz found out. And those are two big things for me as well, because I think
those are two like very key timelines.
I mean, it's very, it matters. And TMZ.
Do you think that Raquel and Tom will be honest about when it happens, like when they talk about it on camera or at the reunion?
I mean, from what Tom is saying now, Sandoval, from what he's saying now, it was basically right around the timeline of what we're seeing when her dog Charlotte dies, when her grandmother dies, which is basically when she's at her lowest. So if that's what he's saying, maybe it is truthful, because that makes him sound really shitty. I don't know. Or if that's his fake ass excuse and it's been going on for a long time. I don't really know. And I don't know if we'll get the truth from him. She might tell us the truth, but she's also so weak that he could like brainwash her. I don't know how this is going to play out, but I also know that
Tom Schwartz is like a very like smooth operator as far as like his narcissistic abuse.
Yeah.
I think that's how he like managed to hold on to someone like Ariana for so long.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's been interesting. And so Schwartz got caught coming off a plane the other day, and you know, he was quoted by TMZ basically saying that Sandoval has profound sadness and he feels like a piece of shit. And to an extent he kind of is. That's what he had to say about this.
Yeah.
And he's and
talking and he was like, oh yeah, heart goes out to Ariana, but like, haven't they like not even like talked or something?
Exactly. That
something that's going around.
Like Schwartz should have been like, look, as soon as he found out, he should have been like, you tell Ariana or I'm going to tell her. Like, figure it out. Like, figure it out. But you cannot let this go on. So I really think that it's, you know, we're going to have to just see how this all plays out. Because
it also would have been like, it's just weird to think about like all the different possibilities. Like, if Schwartz and Katie hadn't broken up, would Katie have found out some way through Schwartz? Because I'm sure Katie like had no problem going through his phone more often than Ariana was going through Sandoval's.
Well, and that's the thing. So Ricky,
Katie would have fucking seen so many red flags so early if they'd still been together, probably.
Well, and we did. So like on the most recent episode, we got to really see who Raquel Rachel is to her core. You know, first, as soon as she heard Lala saying, and that was another thing that people were coming at Lala for, saying, oh, she was saying how cute that Garcelle's son Oliver was, but Lala knew that Oliver was married and she was going after a married man. And she's like, no, I said he was good looking. And she goes, and what I couldn't say without breaking the fourth wall was saying, when they were asking her, how do you know him? She can't be like, I know him because I watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and that's Garcelle Bouvet's son.
Yeah.
Like, she goes, that's what I couldn't say. So I just had to be like, oh, I know of him, but I think he might be married. She goes, but I know he was fucking married because I watched him on the show and I just said he was cute. Like, that was all it was. And then Lisa chimed in to Lala and blatantly said, I believe he's separated. So Raquel had no interest in Oliver until she saw Lala interested in Oliver. And then all of a sudden she's like, he's hot. And then she totally was like, and then Lala basically like bowed out And then Raquel went and made out with Oliver, which was then became like a whole thing. Then that night, Raquel was so drunk, she said to Lala, good thing you don't have a man for me to have around. Because Lala said to her, I wouldn't trust you around my man if after you were drinking. I just have to be honest with you. And Raquel's like, well, good thing you don't have a man for me to have around.
It's just crazy because, like, one of my friend Debbie, she was like, a lot of people have been talking about this and like how
shout out Debbie
and like how differently would we have seen this episode if none of this had come out. Like, would have been like,
yeah, like
good for you standing up for yourself, Raquel. Like,
oh, it got worse.
Always be like mean girls. Like, we all know that we like him for that, but it's like, oh, you feel bad for her because, you know, James is already such a fucking cunt to her anyways.
And she's just a weak little bird, a little Bambi-eyed little bitch.
And I love how Lala was like, I helped her create that persona.
Quite frankly, she did. And I will say this, Debbie is correct. People would have, I actually looked at the scene and said, aw, damn, I kind of feel bad for her. But I don't, because I know what she did. So I don't feel bad for you, but yes, because we've all been in that situation at some point in our life where we felt like an outsider. And I thought it was hilarious. And I mean,
it was actually a pretty good comeback for how dumb of a bitch she is.
Well, I thought the Smiths said it so funny. They like compared that scene with Raquel listening outside of the door to like a Brady Bunch scene with her like wah, 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 and she like walked back to her room and cried, and it's like, no. And then Raquel had like a panic attack the next day in the car. So she said, when she said this, like, good thing you don't have,
did she go straight to go like fuck Tom Sandoval?
Well, when she said this fucking thing, first of all, she said it to Christina, Katie, and Lala, and Lala and Christina were sober there because Christina found out she was pregnant the week before they started filming. So she told everybody she was on medication for some procedure or something she was sick with or whatever. And Katie was the only one that was really drinking. So Lala and Christina were clear-minded, and Christina called Raquel from the fucking get. Like, she had her number. And it's so crazy to hear Katie say things, Christina say things, and you're like, you guys didn't edit this? You guys were seeing this shady snake, and Lala says it gets way worse.
I guess at the time, like, they're basing a lot of this off of their knowledge of, like, she had made out with Schwartz, right?
Yes. Yes.
But they don't even understand that there's, like, something else completely brewing.
And basically the episode ends with, you know, Charlie comes, so then Raquel basically has somebody to kind of be her little road dog with her. And
well, I saw that, like, Charlie was like on her side, like fighting, like being her champion. And then, like, I saw this week, like, Charlie was like, if only I knew what I know now.
Like, yeah, she was like, if I would have known what I know now. But she was like, I'm not, I don't feel bad.
Raquel and her sister a cunt or something.
Yeah, she was like, bitch, you could show this to your sister too. Like, get off your cunt stage. Yeah. So basically Charlie gave Raquel that little bit of oomph she needed to feel like she could say. So they went to sleep. The next morning she woke up. So wait, hold on. Let's touch on this real quick. They leave, right? After that night in Vegas, they get in the car and they drive to go to like another little resort area. And Raquel has a complete and utter anxiety attack. The girls pull over the car. They're so supportive and loving of her. Like, really, they were the nicest to her. And I really think that she was having a anxiety attack because the relationship had already begun with her and Sandoval, or maybe she began to feel these feelings, or she was putting up a facade about what was going on. So I feel like she was having anxiety because of what she was already holding in and what she was already beginning to feel. Like, she wasn't wearing the lightning bolt necklace yet. So I don't think that they were full blown, like, telling each other they loved each other and shit by then. But regardless of the fact, after that happened, that's when they went and they had a night and it didn't go well. And basically they had a dinner and the girls went at each other. And the next day is when Charlie and Raquel said, all right, we're going to dip. We're going to leave. So she goes and basically gives this whole speech that she planned. It was like, and we're going to leave because I don't feel welcome here. And I packed my bags and we're going to go meet Schwartz and Sheena at the Mondrian.
And everyone's like, bye, bitch.
And Katie's just like, ugh, this fucking dumb bitch.
So what is Ariana's position currently in the show with, like,
Ariana wasn't there because her dog died.
Well, I know that, but I mean, like, what does she think about the whole, like, Schwartz kiss situation? Like, because obviously, like, she continued to be friends with her after all of that.
She said...
And is, like, are some of the girls kind of, like, against Ariana because of that stance, or no?
No, so basically what Ariana said was, like, hey, I told you, like, we all want you to, like, go be young and single and, like, free and find your voice. But then Ariana's like, but not like that. Like, not by going and trying to make out with Schwartz. And then Ariana also was very supportive of Katie. When Katie was like, Ariana, why is Sheena trying to go and, like, tell Schwartz everything I'm doing? And why is Sheena trying to hook up Raquel with Schwartz? Like, she was feeling safe talking to Ariana. And Ariana's like, oh, my God, what's happening? Like, Ariana was...
It almost makes it feel like Raquel, like, did it to be revengeful. I mean, I guess it's just so complicated because it's like, well, apparently it was Sandoval all along. It had nothing to do with Schwartz.
Yeah, I think it was a cover-up. So I think time is going to tell, and I think this coming up week, we're going to see a lot more. And they're, like, again, they're not editing these episodes to reflect anything new. Now, I do know with the cameras being up, we're going to get current times on this season. And they're going to film the reunion in 2 weeks.
I think that what they're probably going to do, as opposed to fully re-editing a lot of these episodes, I think they're going to leave a lot of it up to, like, damn, isn't that fucking crazy?
Yep.
But also, like, they're probably going to be going back and finding that footage to do, like, flashbacks and stuff, you know, like we sometimes see at reunions. Because I think that this whole Scandoval thing is going to be it might as well be its own fucking spinoff.
I mean, quite frankly, I feel like the editors and the producers for Vanderpump Rules are going to be working nonstop OT from now through the reunion, because I'm pretty sure that they're going to be looking and fanning through a lot of the footage of Ariana and Sandoval, because they probably weren't getting a ton of the airtime because that wasn't the main focal point this season. It wasn't supposed to be. So that might be some stuff that they're going to pull maybe a little bit as well that might not have been in there before. But I really think that Ariana's going to thrive.
A weird little, like, they're going to go back and be, like, especially looking for any hot mic moments.
Yeah.
But I heard recently, I don't remember where it was that I heard
it. It was with Lala.
Was it with Lala about how they, like, they will mostly, like, listen and then they will go and find the footage that they want to use?
Lala was tripping. She had no idea that they could hear, too.
I just imagine it almost has to feel like you're, like, in the CIA and you're, like, Russia's moving a nuclear bomb when you hear stuff like when Lenny was like, no one knows that I'm leaving her. Like, you know, you have to be like sitting there and you're like, holy shit, this is gonna blow up everyone's world.
Oh my God, to have that be your job. So you guys, listen.
Bravo, call me. I'm a good listener.
I have been, okay, first of all, I just want to thank you, Ricky, for... you know, talking with me about Vanderpump Rules, because this is really what's been giving me life. And I want to thank everybody out there for listening to me talk about Vanderpump Rules, because I know that you guys are just as obsessed with this as I am. And I'm just trying to convince Ricky to watch this season.
I mean, considering I don't watch the show, I can still talk about it.
So he knows what's going on because obviously IG and, you know, me.
I did watch the show up until the very last season I watched was when they tried to force way too many new people in there. And then, like, afterwards they got rid of, like, Stassi, and the show got too wrapped up in, like, controversy. And it was also like, the show's gone too far away from where it began. And I still do feel that way. I think it's probably good television, but my main reason I don't watch Vanderpump Rules anymore is I personally loved from the get-go of this show the workplace drama. I was a server when I was really young, and so, like, the kind of shit that you saw in Vanderpump Rules happens everywhere, just in a different, like, scale, you know what I mean? Like, there's always, like, the couple at the restaurant and they break up and he's, like, dating another server all of a sudden.
They're casting, like, for a new show like that right now. They are starting to cast, I think, for the new version.
Like, that's, I just miss that because I've caught like a couple of the episodes here and there as they've been running these
reruns.
Marathons. And it's interesting. Early seasons were just so good.
They were so good. I've been watching them and I have just been so happy in my little happy place watching these old Stassi episodes. I'm like, damn, these people were beasts back in the day. It's so crazy to watch. But you guys definitely make sure you're, you know, staying tuned with us because we'll make sure that we're giving you all the updates as the VP.
Yeah, especially Ariel. Follow Ariel at Bravo and T. She's like giving you every single Vanderpump Rules update there is. If there's one that she's missed, I don't know who has it. nothing shy of a cast member. And make sure you're following myself as well, that Bravo Gay, and our collective account, Bravo Critics, to stay on top of any new episodes coming out. And for any polls, just where we're asking you guys what you want to hear more of. Also, make sure that you are subscribing to the podcast. You guys know where to find it because you're listening to it right now. Give us some good feedback. We always love that. So until next time, guys.
Cheers. Everyone's a critic.